This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's talk tech with Nelson Rago of Cool Blind Tech. Nelson is the founder of that group, and he joins us from Edmonton, Alberta. Hey, good morning, Nelson.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
So let's jump right into things, beginning in the world of Netflix. After testing its Play Something feature back in April, Netflix is officially releasing the Shuffle feature to Android mobile users. So tell us, Nelson, what does Play Something do?
Yeah, finally, Android gets something first.
Yeah, darn tootin', cut in front of the line.
For those of us who watch a lot of Netflix and maybe not have the time to research all the shows and the movies, because it takes time to add these things to your playlist, especially if you have to read through all the information there or the description. Netflix kind of does like a shuffle button. I'm not sure where they're grabbing that information. It may be like a recommended list. But if you're not sure what to watch and you just don't want to spend the time of looking up shows to see if there's something interesting, they'll automatically select something for you. And then you just have to just hit the button. And then hopefully it's something you like. And right now, like you said, it's available for Android. It's going to be I think it's available actually in Canada right now. So I think those of you out there, check your phones. I didn't notice it on my Apple TV, but definitely check your mobile devices to see if it's something that works for you for Android.
As I mentioned to you, or as I mentioned in the intro, that they'd been testing this in April, and I do remember seeing the feature popping up on my Xbox platform, my Xbox Netflix platform. Do we know if this is going to be available on other platforms?
They're looking to run it on iOS. That's the next one, next few months. So they're going through testing for those users. And like you said, if it's already on Xbox, then, or if it's coming out on Xbox, then it's going to be there. But the big one is going to be Android and iOS, since more and more people are kind of getting away from watching things on the big screen and watching it on their mobile devices.
Yeah.
And you could always watch it on their through their website as well. If you're on a laptop or a desktop, yeah. You can watch it.
Nelson, way. I could not tell you the last time I've logged into Netflix on my laptop, or desktop. It's either my phone or my Xbox. That's it.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's what a lot of people are doing. But you know, there's people out there that still have their computers, so it's available for them as well.
And for sure, there's still folks who are plugging their HDMIs into their TV through their computer, not worrying about casting or AirPlay or anything like this.
Yeah, old school.
Old school, baby. That old school HDMI port. That's how you know you're going old school. And by old school, we mean 15 years ago. Nelson, Netflix also launched their Fast Laughs feature. Now, see, this sounds appealing, but I have no idea what it is.
So it's it depends on the show. It gave me some kind of cool recommendations. I mean, you're familiar with Reels and TikTok and Shorts from YouTube.
So. Oh, yeah, I'm hip.
Yes. basically, it takes a clip out of a show or a movie. I like watching a lot of stand-up comedy stuff. So it grabs something from, for example, Dave Chappelle, one of his stand-up shows. And it's actually a pretty funny segment. But it grabs probably maybe 10, 15 seconds. I didn't really time it, but it's a very short video clip from something. And then if you decide you want to watch the whole thing, then you can just kind of tap on it. So it's almost like a preview, but it grabs a funny moment in that video. So it's kind of like an advanced preview that makes it kind of interesting. And if you're an iOS user, it's actually a separate tab on the bottom of your phone. So you just tap on that and you can kind of go through the selections that it offers. And it's I actually quite like it. I just started using it not too long ago, and it is useful, and it it does recommend some interesting shorts if you do follow stand-up comedy. So you got to be careful what you click on.
Yeah, maybe make sure the kids aren't around for that one when you're jumping into some of the stand-up comedy stuff. Hey, Nelson, let's jump into your next topic here, which is that Stanford University, go Cardinal, their researchers have constructed a cane that could be a significant use to users who are blind and partially sighted, as it uses technology previously used in autonomous vehicles. So what does this self-navigating cane offer in terms of benefits?
Yeah, we're seeing like some interesting trends. Not too long ago, we saw people doing something with shoes and making it accessible for people that are blind, low vision for navigating. And now it's kind of also going the direction of these smart canes with the motorized wheels on the end of them. So like an omnidirectional. I think we talked about one a couple weeks ago from another research company. And these guys are also doing a similar thing, using a little bit different technology, using it from vehicles that are self-driving vehicles or autonomous vehicles, specifically LiDAR technology. And that's just basically reflecting lasers, shooting off objects. And then it in real time, it's giving you feedback through artificial intelligence and something called SLAM, which is stands for Simultaneous Localization and Mapping Technology. And that's basically just reading out your area and giving you feedback and dynamic feedback as far as like what to avoid and how to navigate around something. And they're using technologies such as gyroscopes, accelerometer, magnetometer, you name it, what sensor they got in there. It's quite amazing. And for the price, I'm quite surprised at the price of it that they're able to get it down to as far as this type of technology.
What is the price points?
Well, they're able to build this this cane with the motorized head for $400. And when you incorporate all that technology, that's actually quite cheap. And not only have they done that, but they made it accessible for anyone to build for themselves. So, which is actually pretty cool if anyone has the know-how.
Open source,
it's all open source. You got the code. They got the parts list, so you can grab the parts list. And if you know how to work with this type of thing, you can actually build your own cane.
Wow.
You have some knowledge with coding and stuff.
For sure. It's for those who are a little more advanced. Nelson, so these researchers at Stanford have done some testing. What have the tests revealed?
So they discovered that with this particular cane, I'm not sure what they were comparing it to, if it was a person with just a regular cane. I just recently picked up one of those no-dab canes, which is actually pretty cool. That helps you, like, when you hit an object, it kind of buffers the shock to your system. This one, I'd say it's definitely something worth looking to. So I would highly recommend anyone, especially a company who's interested in possibly advancing this type of technology, to actually maybe take up this open source project and sort of utilize it. Those big cane makers use this technology for them, and maybe they can get the price down to more reasonable price where we can afford it, maybe $100, $150. I would certainly see a lot of people paying that price for this type of technology.
Mm-hmm. Nelson, let's jump into your tech tip of the week. We'd like to end our segment with that. And we talked about this a little bit last week with Sean Priest about YouTube launching some new accessibility features. So Nelson, which of these features jump out to you?
The main thing for people that are blind is the descriptive audio. That is actually pretty impressive. So they're looking to do multiple languages, and one of the incorporated languages is the descriptive audio, and they're thinking about planning it next few quarters, and that's basically going to be for appears for like special creators, so it's not going to be for everyone, but that's definitely something to look out for, because those of us who watch how-to videos or something, it's people kind of doing their own sort of home videos, and they're not taking into account accessibility. That's probably the last thing on their mind when they're making these videos. The other thing is the main thing for people that have problems with hearing is that it gives you captions, and it's automatic captions for live streaming. And before it was for people that would utilize it who had 1,000 subscribers or more, but they've actually opened up to everyone. So those of you who are interested in accessibility and have a YouTube channel, you can go down to your creator area, and you can actually enable that feature when you're doing live streaming, and you'll have the automatic captioning, which is pretty cool. And it gives you the other option of you can also get a third party to do it as well if you want to do something specific, if you're using a company already for that. But it's some really cool stuff that YouTube's doing. And it's amazing that you know, they're starting to utilize more and more accessibility into their future updates instead of just simply you know, updating and trying to fix accessibility. They're actually incorporating accessibility you know, with their new updates.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Hey, Nelson, thank you for this. We always appreciate you stopping by.
Definitely. Great. Take care.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.